I thought she was going to jump right off the stage on her way down. So we're glad to see her. And by the way, Chip Phillips, it's good to see you. So come up and pray before the message, if you will. It's nice to have Chip and Lori. They're home just for a little bit for a class and for a conference. And he's here. So we're glad to see Chip. And his birthday is tomorrow. So we got to wish him happy birthday, right? Happy birthday, brother. Good to see you. Pray us in. Give us a quick greet and pray us in.
Notice Lori's not here, so she came back with a cold, and she didn't want to pass that on to all of you. I don't know if it's COVID or something like that, so she's hanging low today and sleeping in. And so we are delighted to be here. Well, I'm delighted to be here. So we have a meeting with ABWE next week. I had a class that I did for my doctoral studies last week, and then we're going to take a week and do a little vacation, and then we'll be back here 2 weeks on our way back to Brazil. So we'll be seeing you again there. We'd appreciate you praying for the folks back in Brazil. We did that Christmas dream presentation. I don't know if you were following that. I didn't send a lot of pictures this year, but it's a big presentation. We had like 3,000-4,000 people came through from our city.
Amen.
Over 180 people said they want to get saved, so we're going to be visiting them. About 150 people said they wanted to get right with the Lord. So you never really know, you know, what people are really thinking about in their hearts, but pray that as we start to visit those people, that God will be working in their lives, and that that will be, you know, something really good for our city. And we're also, the other thing I'd ask you to pray for is that we're in the process now of trying to sell the hospital to the Brazilian government, and we do a lot of ministry in the hospital, apart from the medical side of things. The medical side of things, we'll transfer that over to the Brazilian government, and I'll kind of continue to do what I do there. But on the spiritual side, we're looking for how that's going to be moved to a different spot, you know, whether we'll have to build something on where our local church is or another facility. So we just ask for wisdom with that as we work through with our national partners, you know, how to make that transition probably this year. So thank you.
Amen. Pray soon.
All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us, for your presence with us, no matter where we are, no matter what's happening. And I just thank you for that reminder. I'd ask that you would encourage each of us as we listen to your word, that we would be receptive to it, that you would give Pastor Gary the ability to communicate your truth well, and that it will have an everlasting impact into our lives and the lives of those that we meet this week. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks, Chip. All right, take your Bibles, if you would. Go to Matthew 16. We're going to go a few other places as well. And this cold thing that everybody's battling is annoying, isn't it? It's terrible. So we're all drinking lots of water and eating cough drops all the time. Watch me up here. I have battery. I always keep an extra set of batteries in my pocket. So I want to make sure I put the cough drop in, not the batteries, if I need that. So keep an eye on me as we dive into God's word today. But we want to pick up where we left off, and that is pursuing God. Knowing him, finding life, and experiencing peace. And we're going to move right on down. What we want to focus on today is, and we kind of teed up, what we want to cultivate, by the way, in myself and in all of us, is a stronger desire for the presence of God in our everyday life and life change that would just be significant, you know, as we talked about. And when we said this last weekend, we left, the big question is, we all might want that, but how do I get there? So we're going to talk a little bit about one of the issues today. Pastor Anthony's going to pick up the ball next week and talk a little bit about, it's called about going behind the veil and you know, this veil of our selfishness and our self-life. But we want to talk about one of the problems today. And I hope today as we do that, what my thought is that we want to walk away today with what are some of those things in our lives that are just getting in the way of us pursuing God. And by the way, we got it. The pastor's got it. You know, the choir director, she's got it. We all got it. We're all struggling with these things, right? So we're going to jump into God's word and try to figure that out. And our blurb is exactly that. We must become better people who look and live like Jesus. And here's the question. Why does it seem like pursuing God is so difficult? Like, we want it. Why is it so hard? You know, and they say, you know, all good things are hard, and this is certainly one of those. So we're going to try to answer that question today. So here's the thought. Get this in your mind. It seems a little daunting and scary. I said this to Carol this week. I said, you know, God is going to step all over our toes today, mine included. So we're going to think about that. So here's the thought. As we go into the new year, by the way, if you have a New Year's resolution, by this time, some of you guys are saying, forget it. But I love Dennis's New Year's resolution last week. Remember what he said? His New Year's resolution was really to really draw near to God and be who God wants him to be, right? So we cannot guarantee better situations in our lives this year, but we must be better people. And better people desire God. And here's the catch, right? And possess nothing. What's that look like? Does that mean I'm going to, like, you know, be naked in the street? What does that look like? Well, we're going to kind of fill in that and understand that better. What's that look like? Just quick review real fast. Remember, our greatest pursuit, right, is the Lord. And we talked about starters. And remember this, just kind of get this in our minds, right? And by the way, we don't just pursue God for what we're going to get out of him and to make our life better. But we pursue God because he is the ultimate thing. Carol bought some new banners. Look what it says about this. It says, the Lord is my what? He is my light and my salvation. So we pursue God because he's God. He's the only one that deserves that kind of pursuit, right? But at the same time, remember Jesus said, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And the key word is what? Finish that statement for me. Without me, you can do what? Nothing, right? Nothing at all. So we got to keep that in our minds. That's a huge truth that just colors everything that we talk about. And I remember the Apostle Paul said this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it seems like, we talked about this last week, that I need to relate well to Jesus. Otherwise, nothing else is really going to go down the way I want it to go, right? With him, I can do all things. Without him, I can do nothing. And the challenge, right, the dichotomy that we struggle with is if we look at all of our lives sort of under the microscope or even by the telescope or even just quick look, it doesn't always look like that, does it? You know, that pursuing God doesn't seem like that's the number one thing. So that's what we got to work on. That's some thoughts for us just to get our mind going the right direction. We listed out real quick some of the signs of the need for our hunger and thirst for God, frustration, failure, fatigue, and a whole bunch of others that happen in our lives. And we learned that. And here's, by the way, isn't this kind of cool? God knows we need him. And he says, if we have that desire, if we hunger and thirst after him, look what it says. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because what? They shall be, or that's a definite thing. They will be filled. So we're not chasing something that is elusive. We're chasing something that God says, if you chase it, you're going to find it. I'm going to give it to you. And that's such a huge, huge thing. And we just need to cultivate that, you know, in the days ahead. So we're going to quickly move right on down. So what's the problem? What are we wrestling with? And by the way, doesn't that look like a problem? Aren't you glad that's not your backyard? You know, I'll share with you guys. We have this. We have these two giant oak trees in our backyard, right? And Jane, don't look down, but every time in the wintertime, especially, you know, we get these like crazy days of wind, and you know, we've all seen our neighbors' trees fall down or fall on their house and those kind of things, right? So every time, and the oak tree, by the way, is really close to our bedroom, and it's on Jane's side of the bed, right? So it's kind of scary. So when that wind's blowing, a couple times Jane said, I'm going to go, you know, Dan's not, he's living in Philly. Jane's like, I'm going to go sleep in Dan's bed. Yeah, and I guess I'm further over, so I guess I'll be okay, I hope. I don't know. I was like, don't have faith. Don't worry. It'll be okay. But that is clearly a problem. you know, when the tree is uprooted and looks like that, right? And that's one of our challenges, and we're going to kind of jump into that right now. So the roots of the problem, and I want you guys to kind of see this for a second. That's the other side of that tree. That's the root part. What happened to this tree? I want you guys to analyze this with me real fast. What happened? It fell, but why did it fall? The wind. Yeah, the wind was a factor, right? But there's wind every single day. Are all the trees on earth tipped over? No. So what's going on with this picture? What's going on here? Something with the roots? Yeah, here's the problem, right? The roots aren't really dug into the ground, or the ground is something that doesn't hold up the tree. That's kind of the problem. So I want you guys to take that thought for a second. And thank you, by the way, for dimming the light there. That helps a little bit better. And you can see all the roots. By the way, isn't there a lot of roots there? There's a ton of roots, right? But they're not in something that's going to hold the tree. And that's the problem. And we're going to take that and look at that spiritually for a second. So here's the root of the problem. And I want you guys to check this out. It says, and by the way, yeah, you can turn them all down because I can see pretty good on the pulpit. The roots of the problem, right, are gifts and good things. And check this out. Look what we learned about this in Genesis. It said, then God saw that everything he had made, and what's it say? Indeed, it was what? Very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So God made everything in the garden very good. God is the source of every good and perfect gift, right? We read that in James. So God, right, he just, as his people, he just keeps giving us good things and gifts, right? And notice in Paul wrote this to Timothy, he said, command those who are rich in this present age. In other words, they got a whole lot of gifts, right? Because if you're rich, where'd it come from ultimately? Came from God, right? Didn't come from you, it came from God. Came from, you know. And he says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or full of pride, nor to trust in uncertain riches, excuse me, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And that kind of tips us off to the problem a little bit, doesn't it? So the issue, right, is we get a lot of good gifts from God. But let me throw this out to you guys. Take us back to the tree picture, if you would, there, Lori. Our roots can't be in the gifts. Our roots need to be in the giver. And that's the problem. And that's why life doesn't work. And we'll go down. Take us down, Lorene, if you would. I want you guys to get this last line. Gifts are things for man's use and enjoyment, but God's gifts often take the place on the throne in our hearts. And that's really called idolatry, isn't it? You know, idolatry isn't just falling down on our knees to something made of wood or stone, but idolatry is what we focus our minds, our money, our thoughts, our time. All those things just take all that up. And here's the problem. These gifts can be tyrants, and they enslave us. I want you guys to think with me for a second, and you can throw them out for me, you know, help me today. What are some of the gifts that God gives us that can ultimately kind of become, we can become enslaved to? Family, children, right? I'll throw this out. Especially for God. Yeah, keep going. Family, children, money, work, right? Success. What else? Intelligence, education, achievement, right? All those things, right? And I want you guys to all look up with me real fast. Everything that we just said and everything else that you're thinking, they're all gifts from God. But they're not what you can put your roots into that are going to hold you up in this life. And they're not going to glorify God. They're not your sole pursuit. You know, that they're not something that's going to be eternal, right? And that's something we have to kind of get a hold of here for a second, right? And that's what I want us to get a hold of today. And we're going to keep on sliding down. I want you guys to read this passage with me. We looked at this a few weeks back, and it's such a relevant passage to a lot of things, right? But in the book of Matthew, Jesus was speaking in parables, and he gave what's called the parable of the soils or the parable of the sower, right? And he said this. He said he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, and by the way, just so we're clear, we don't use that terminology so much. The sower is like the farmer, and a sower does what? He spreads the seed, right? The seed gets spread out. And it says, and as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, kind of like something that's paved, a pathway, a roadway, you know, it's trampled on, the ground is hard, it's dry. That seed's not really going to do too much, probably, right? And he says that. And he says, he sowed some by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And then some, even though it wasn't the pathway or the road, said it fell on stony places where there wasn't much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. So they're kind of in a good spot. They're in the sun. The seed germinates, and it pops up, but it really can't dig in the roots. So what happens to the seed?
It dies out. It dies.
And we'll continue on. And then check the next one. And he said, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And then he gets to the next category, and it's the one we're focusing on right now. And he says this. He said, and some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up and did what? Choked them. I said this at the top. There is war in your soul. And springing up and choking sounds like war, doesn't it? And this is the problem, is that there are these things in our lives, they're gifts from God, but they want to choke out the source of all of the blessing and all the things that we get from God. And the biggest part of that is our relationship with him. And then he says, but others fell on good ground and they yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. And check out what he said. He who has ears, do what? And I want to challenge you today. How many people got ears out there today? Right? We all do. And it doesn't just mean do you have the physical tool, the ear, right? But what he's trying to say is, is your heart really listening? Because these are some serious truths. And I want to get this again, kind of go back to the bottom, right? Here's the truth reinforced. Gifts are things for man's use and enjoyment. So all the things you just mentioned, including our children, are gifts from God. But they are not something we possess and we get our life out of. And that's kind of deep, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 4:7, by the way, says, kind of a little bit like the other verses we looked at, there is nothing that you have that you did not receive from God. Just kind of keep that in our minds, right? So we want to go a little further. And this was a quote, by the way, from A.W. Tozer in the book. And here's what he says. He kind of summarizes it real well. And by the way, how many folks have read the book? Be honest. Raise your hand. Not the whole book. Anybody read any of the book? All right. Look at the hands are up. That's good, right? Anybody have to read it 2 or 3 times? It's kind of deep, right? Right, it's very deep, right? It's good. But check out what he says. He says, there is within the human heart a tough, fibrous root of fallen life. In other words, by the way, just so we're all clear, when Adam and Eve fell and sin entered the world, everything got corrupted. So you and I got some corrupted things in us that only God can fix. And until we reach heaven, there's going to be this tug of war battle in our heart and in our soul to get it right. Right? And that's what he's saying. So check it out. He says, there's this fibrous root of fallen life whose nature is to, would you write this word down? To do what? To possess. Always to do what? Possess. Right? And I like what he said next. He said, it covets things. You know that word where one of the Ten Commandments is, right? Don't covet. In other words, don't desire something so much that you'll do anything to get it, including give up God to get it. Don't do that, right? But he says it covets so much with a deep and fierce passion. And then I want you guys to think about how we talk. The pronouns my and mine look innocent enough in print, don't they? That's my car. That's my house. Those are my kids. Those are my grandkids. But here's the funny thing. Do I really possess them? Am I going to get life out of those things? I'll get some enjoyment. It'll be fun. It'll be a blessing from God. But that's not where I find life. Right? And that's kind of the thing he's trying to get across here. So check out what he says next. He says, they look innocent enough in print, but their constant and universal use is significant. By the way, you know anybody, all they talk about is themselves. You know what I did? You know, or me, am I, and all that kind of thing, right? Like, it just kind of is a reflection of our soul that's broken, right? And he says that. He says, they express the real nature of the old Adamic man. The roots of our hearts have grown down into things, and we dare not pull up one rootlet lest we die. And everybody look up. You get the problem? The problem is, right, we're that tree that's tipped over, and our roots are dug into everything but God. And that's why the tree fell. And that's the problem. And it just shows our condition, and that's why we need God. We need God for salvation first, and we need God every day to keep us on. You remember, Christians use this phrase, keep us grounded. You know what that kind of means in this context? It means keep the tree up. I like trees in my yard that grow up to heaven, not lay on my fence. Right? And you do too. But that has to be, our roots have got to be in God, not in all this other stuff. All the other gifts and good things that God gives us. And I want to throw this out, and I love this last quote. He said, it would seem that there is within us an enemy. And I like that phrase. We just looked at that verse, right? It said, the enemy, we're at war, right? Springing up and choking out. Sounds like war. Sounds like that's the enemy, doesn't it? It says, there's within us an enemy which we tolerate at our own peril. Jesus called it life and self, or as we would say, the self-life. And I want you to get this. Its chief characteristic is its possessiveness. We just want to get stuff. And we always think, by the way, if I get a little bit more, it's going to flip the scale and I'm going to really be happy and satisfied. You know, and by the way, you could go out and interview. I've read stories about rich people back in the day. And they said, how much is enough? And they always say, just a little bit more. Can you imagine? I can't imagine this. Could you imagine being a millionaire? And like you could buy anything, you could travel anymore, you could do anything. And then that desire, though, is in their heart still for what? Just a little bit more. I mean, some of the salaries that we see of professional athletes, you know, they get $50 million to play three seasons. Like, there is nothing that they pretty much can't buy, but we always want a little bit more. But then we get a little bit more, and I'm going to ask this question. Do we go, I'm there? Or what happens? I meant a little bit more. A little bit more still, right? That's the problem. So that's what we got to talk about today, right? That's why we can't get there. That's why our relationship with God suffers, is because we're chasing everything else, right? And by the way, it doesn't matter if you're on this side of the platform or on that side, we're in the same chase. And often it's wrong, right? So here we go. So the road of God's pursuit, what is the road of God's pursuit? And we'll hit on that right now this afternoon. The road of pursuing God, and I want you guys to check this out. Please, when you come to church, don't feel like me and Pastor Ansu, because we preach the most, or Reverend Guy, or some of us, don't think, boy, I wish I could be like those guys because they got it all figured out. Don't think that. Please do not think that. Chip, by the way, Chip is here a lot. And Chip, you know, is working on another doctorate. Please don't think Chip has it all figured out, right, Chip? He's got maybe a little more, but he got it all figured out, right? So I want you guys to understand this, and I love this passage because the disciples are involved. And I want you to think about this. Who are the biggest or the most important, maybe, or the most renowned disciples? Think about who they are. Peter, James, and John, and then Paul added in afterwards, right? Right? Okay, so we're talking about Peter. And I want you, by the way, get this in your mind. Remember, we kind of looked at a beatitude. We have bad attitudes, but we need some beatitudes, right? And last week we learned, right, blessed are those who what pursue after God, right, because they're going to find him, right? And then this time we said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I want you guys to get this in your mind. It says, so Jesus is all sitting down with the disciples. And by the way, aren't you glad they're just like we are? And it's not just that they're dumb, but they're just as spiritually inept as we are, and they're chasing all the wrong things just like we are. And it says, and from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And I want you, so Jesus is teaching, by the way, everybody look up. What is Jesus teaching the disciples? That he is the Messiah, that he is the sacrificial servant, that the only way to heaven is through his shed blood. And the only way that people really follow God and follow Jesus is what? They're people of sacrifice. And I want you to check this out. We just said, who's one of the big disciples? Peter, right? And think about this just for a second. Peter is face-to-face with the Lord, Jesus. And I've never been face-to-face with him, because the only way I'm going to be face-to-face with him is when I get to heaven, right? Or he comes back. But look what happens. Imagine this. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you guys think about that just for a second? You are sitting with the creator of the universe, and he tells you, hey, you guys, guess what? I'm going to go. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to suffer all these things. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. And Peter says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on. Far be it from you that this shall not happen to you. Think about that for a second. Now, like the disciples, they're just like us, right? They miss the boat. This guy's not even on the right dock, right? He is so far off, and we are too so much, right? But and then look what Jesus says. But Jesus, he turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. And you guys thought, this is not an unfamiliar passage. And look what he says next. He says, You are an offense to me. Can you imagine the Lord? But wouldn't that be like, oh, that'd be like the worst thing that God could ever say? We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, not, you're an offense to me. Right? And he says that to Peter. Excuse me.
And he actually calls him Satan.
And it says, you're an offense to me. And look what he says. Here's the problem. He says, for you are not mindful of what? The things of God, but the things of man. Everybody look up. Do you get the connection? The roots of our tree are in all the things of men. They're not in God, hence the tree falls. The disciples were in the same boat. You know, they're walking with Jesus, doing miraculous things, hearing his teaching, and they're still thinking about and chasing after what? The gifts and the things and the blessing God gave them, thinking that's going to be what is real life. And it's not, right? So I want to just share with you guys, and I put this thought at the bottom. Just think about the power of those things in your life and the competing desires that are there other than Jesus. Aren't they strong? I mean, think about this. Peter is the big disciple, right? And he's got it all wrong. It's amazing, right? And so do we, by the way. So much. So we want to skip on down. So look at the next thing. So Jesus, by the way, praise God that, you know, when God teaches us, he doesn't just beat us up, but he gives us hope and he shows us what to do. And that's exactly what he does here. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him do what? Deny yourself. Now, that is not an American-ism. That is not a Western-ism. I don't think it's an Eastern-ism either, because in this world, what do we want to do? And by the way, reflect back with me. What was the key word? You're supposed to write it down. What was the key word? We want to possess, right? You know, there's the thing. I heard somebody said this a while back. I was a famous celebrity. The one who gets the most toys wins the game of life, right? You got the biggest truck, you know, the coolest stuff, the most houses. You're there. No, it's not really true. So Jesus says, if you desire to come after him, let him deny himself, take up your cross, and follow me. And I want you guys to get this picture real quick. I'm not going to exegete this whole thing detail by detail, but get the idea. Take up your cross. And you hear people talk about that a lot in the world. They're like, yeah, you know, my wife is my cross. I got to bear her. No. It's not, doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean your kids. It doesn't mean your boss. It doesn't mean your job. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. But what he's saying is, take up your life like a sacrifice. That's what he's trying to say, right? He says, take up your life like a sacrifice. And he says, and follow me. And he says this, for whoever desires to save his life. In other words, I want to gain all that stuff I'm chasing. If that's your desire, what does he say is going to happen? Read it from the word. What's it say? Whoever desires to save his life will what? I didn't hear you guys say it, so I don't know if you're sleeping or what. You will lose it. So if your focus is on all that stuff or all those things and all those good gifts, including people, guess what? If that's your chase, you're going to lose it, right? And then he continues on and he says, but whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Find it. In other words, if I pursue God above all those things, I'm going to find life. And that's really the key. But everybody look up for a sec. That sounds tough, doesn't it? That doesn't sound too fun by what we have learned in this world. But the problem is, you know, I was actually going to put this verse in, but I knew the message would be too long. Remember Jeremiah says this, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you'll hear people say this, and it sounds, by the way, it sounds so good. to say, you know, it's like a Walt Disney theme. Follow your heart. Right? Well, only follow of your heart if your heart follows God. You know, like it sounds so beautiful. Like you know, I could see Tinkerbell saying it, you know, on a Disney movie or something, right? But the point is, like, your heart is going to chase all that stuff that's going to make the tree fall down, not stand up. And that's our problem. That's why we can't really get close to God, because, you know, I'm sort of pursuing God out my side eye while I'm chasing everything else. And you can't get there that way. So denial is the pathway to pursuing God and his goals. And here's my challenge for you guys right today. Let's identify what are the competing forces in your life. I'm really serious, right? Like, this is where we got to, you know, like it's cool to hear cool messages and, you know, funny illustrations and all that. But now, when we leave God's house, it's like, now we got to do some work. And we got to say, you know what? What is getting in the way of my pursuit of God? And it could be all kinds of things. It could be, you know, the money, the sports, our children. And I'll throw this out, and a confession too. You know how many of us, we live vicariously through our children? If they're a better athlete than we are, we will live our lives through them. And we throw everything into that basket. If they're a better student than we were, we do the same thing, right? And again, we're chasing what doesn't satisfy us, right? And we all do it. Again, pastors do it. We all do it. And it's like we need to come to that revelation, by the way, that the only one we really need to pursue is God. And that's what he's trying to get at in this text, right? And he actually says it, for what profit is to a man if he gains the whole world? And again, think about that. Just imagine you had all the money in the world. And you could do anything in this world. There's only one thing you cannot do. Keep yourself on earth alive. Right? And it says, you know, and you lose your own soul, and what will man give in exchange for your soul? I can't pay God off with my millions. He's not looking for that. He's looking for my heart, my love, right? My faith. And that's really the key, right? So we're going to shoot down real quick. I know it's 12:35. And I want you guys, this is your homework, okay? There was some runners that came before us in the scripture who pursued God. And there were some runners who pursued everything else, right? And the Bible says this in the book of Romans, it said that, you know, God kind of gave us all those stories in the scripture that we might grow. He talks about Israel's faithlessness. And he said, that's so you don't live that way, right? And I'm going to just pick them up real quick. And one of my favorite verses, right? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, in other words, there's all these people that are kind of cheering you on that have gone on before you. And by the way, look what he said. Everybody look up with me real fast. He said, let us lay aside every weight. And here's the point, right? In this race for God, we got to be unencumbered by all these weights. Right? And you all say, you know, we're coming up to the Olympics and all these sporting events. Do athletes wear, like, extra stuff? No, right? I mean, you know, no, not at all, right? Especially, like, track athletes. They're practically, you know, almost naked, right? They got a few things on, but like, because a split second counts, right? And he says that in this context. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And all those things that we go after, what do? They ensnare us. And they're keeping us from the one thing that gives us life, God. And they're giving us this, like, substitute thing that seems so good and may even be good for a little while, but in the end doesn't deliver. And that's kind of the point, right? So denial is really the pathway. And he says, in this verse 11, he says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. By the way, who modeled exactly what to do. He endured the cross, endured the suffering, and, you know, he accomplished the work that God had for him. So that's what we need to think about. And I'm not going to go into the details right now, but I want you to write these two references down, okay? Here's the person to look at. Abraham. And look at this passage. Genesis 22, 1 to 5. And I'll talk about that real fast. Abraham. By the way, it's 22, 1 through 19 is the whole story. But I want you to picture this, right? God calls Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and he says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply your offspring so it'll be like the sand on the seashore and the stars in the heavens. And Abraham's like, man, that's awesome. But I don't have no kid, right? And guess what? God gives Abraham and Sarah Isaac when he's 95 years old. Right? He had another child before because he tried to hurry God's effort, right? Named Ishmael. He wasn't the son of promise. So just think about this. Do you think Abraham loved Isaac? Do you think Isaac was the apple of his eye? Isaac was his thought when he woke up in the morning, and Isaac was his thought when he went to bed at night, right? Isaac was his everything. He's the one, he's the seed, he's the offspring, I'm going to bless me and my family, but the nation and the whole earth. And check out in this passage, look what it says, look what God tells him. He says, look at verse 2, he says, now take your son, by the way, get this for emphasis, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. God, are you crazy? You ever hear that phrase? We have all of our eggs in one basket. Isaac had all of his eggs in the Isaac basket, right? Abraham wanted more than just temporarily satisfaction in this life. He wanted to know God. And he obeyed God. And by the way, as you know, did he have to sacrifice Isaac? He had the knife ready, getting ready to do it, and God said, whoa, stop! Now I know that you're for real. And I'm going to bless you just the way I said. And I say that, everybody look up. I say that to say this, and I close on this idea. That's what God wants from us, right? To not chase all that other stuff and to realize that all those other chases are futile. And the only thing that's going to give us life is that pursuit of God, that relationship with God, that deepening thing with God. Let me say what I'm not saying. I'm not saying kick your kids to the curb. Don't visit the grandkids. I'm not saying that at all. But we need to keep in perspective that the thing that matters most is our walk with God. And all the other things are blessings and gifts from God that are here on this earth while we're here. Money, you know, things, they're all wonderful, but they're all temporary. Right? That's what God wants us to do. And if we can overcome that hurdle, our pursuit of God is going to be much more real and much more probable and much more satisfying. Amen? So we're going to skip down. We're going to go down real fast to the end. Just a last point I want to share with you guys, and I just gave you the scriptures as well. Take it down, Laureen, to Philippians real fast. You can just write this passage down. The other person I want you guys to think about was the Apostle Paul. And you write it down, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And we're not going to look at that even right now for the sake of our time. So what's the point? Where do we end up here? Where did we get to today? God wants us to renounce and reject everything but him. And it's going to make that pursuit of him so much better. So, last couple thoughts. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit mean they're bankrupt. They're not chasing anything else. They're just chasing God, right? He alone should be on the throne, and I need to renounce and reject every competing force in my heart for the throne. It is God's, right? And then here's the key takeaway. I want you guys to do this, right? This is your homework. You could share it if you want with others as helpful, or keep it in your heart between you and God. But here's the thing. Let's identify the competing forces for the throne in our hearts and ask God to help you root out every rival that he has. Ask God to restore the peace that's in your heart because only God's on the throne. And by the way, I'll throw this out. I really look up one last look up to think through. Our hearts are not at peace. You know why? Because God and all those other things are fighting to get up on the throne. They're trying to, you know, pull God's leg and get him off the throne. And we're just so unsettled because we're chasing all these things, and you really can't chase all these things. And the throne only belongs to God. So ask God to restore that peace. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to continue to work on how to conquer these foes and give God the throne. And Pastor Ansu is going to take the baton. Here it is, Pastor Ansu. There's the baton for next week, right? He's going to take us there. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, dear God, for its clarity. Thank you, dear God, that we know, Lord, that when we find you, we find life. And I pray, Lord, that we would begin to do that process even now. Lord, I pray that you would work in all of our hearts to do the homework that's required. To think about what is competing with you, why can't I relate to you? And Lord, as we write those down, as we pray about those things, confess them, Lord, change our hearts. And I pray, dear God, as we continue in this series, Lord, you're going to grow us beyond where we are in our walk with you. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't have Jesus as their Savior, anybody who needs help because they're wrestling with all kinds of things, Lord God, help them just to reach out to us. And Father, we just ask that you would just work now. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So our praise team is going to sing us out of here, all right?
We ask that you all please stand as we sing. Life, and that's the only way we can pursue God, if we allow him to take our life.
Faithfulness is what you want.
Amen, right? Hey, here's a quick summary thought, right? Here's the coolest thing. You know what? When I pursue God and I get Him, I get to enjoy all of the blessings and all of the gifts more and in a way I never could if I was just chasing the gifts. And I just want to encourage us, that's got to be our pursuit. And I want to encourage all of us, right? Let's think through this week. What are the things that are getting in the way? And by the way, I'm going to look at all you guys. Don't look so, you know, oh, like angry or mad or whatever, right? Here's the cool thing, right? Like Jesus said this, right? He said, I came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. He didn't come to give you this rotten life and, you know, we're just looking for heaven to get us out of this mess. He came to give us an abundant life.
Hallelujah.
Right? Amen. And the way to do that is if we pursue God first, we can enjoy everything else that He gives us, right? That's the thought, right? Pastor Ants, you're going to pray us out of here.
Amen. Just before we close, all of our first-time visitors, please step out and meet with Deacon Jonathan on the live conference room. Please, all of our visitors are here for the very first time. We're going to pray for you. Don't worry. You're going to receive your prayer. Amen. So if you receive the visitor form, please step out and see Deacon Jonathan in the conference room. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, as we leave from here today, we will turn over all those things that are suppressing us from pursuing you, O God. That we will surrender all to you and let your will be done completely in our lives. We thank you for your word that is sharper, powerful than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, that it's been brought forth to pierce our hearts to know the truth. And may we live it each moment of our lives. Be with us and bring us back, O God, again, that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.